All right. So let's come on back. I would like to share with you a little bit about metaphor construction and constructing multiply embedded metaphors. This is something that I do quite often in a therapeutic environment. In fact, the more coaching and therapy that I've done, the more I've begun to really get into metaphors. I think metaphors are magical. From a couple of different respects. I think metaphors in and of themselves can be quantum in nature when you think of them, because they assist people in getting learnings in an inductive way, which could blow out the boundary conditions on their preconceived notions, ideas, and problems. So we'll go over, because some of this is stuff that you're familiar with in terms of how do you construct a metaphor, I want to back up a little bit and go over that and just retouch on that. And then we're going to go into how you would do that in a multiply embedded type of way. This is the basis of a lot of Ericksonian work. Remember, Erickson was very indirect in the way he used his language. He used it vaguely and ambiguously to create trance, but he also used metaphor. And he would tell story after story after story, and people would find themselves changing. Now, he had a couple of things going for them. First, they were very interested. They had a lot of investment in hearing what he was about to say. And therefore, they were tuned in. Secondly, he utilized trance. So he induced trance prior to telling the metaphors, which made them more hypnotic. And then he would do them in a multiply embedded way where he would start a story and stop and then start another story and never finish it and start another story and never finish it. What we're doing when we do that type of thing, multiply embedded metaphors, is we're employing the Zagarnik effect. Remember what Zagarnik said. Zagarnik said that premature closure on a subject is worse than premature. You know what I mean? He said it was bad. Zagarnik said premature closure was bad. So what Zagarnik said was it's best to leave a few open loops. Now what happens when there's an open loop? Well, what happens is the mind will tend to wrap on that and begin to, it looks for completion. So the mind will tend to hold there, and that's part of the psychology of suggestion. So when we do multiply embedded metaphors and we end our metaphors in different locations, yet we never finish them, or we come to the height of the metaphor and we change subjects or go someplace else. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody do that before. But what happens then is that the mind still turns on that. So the mind becomes much more receptive in that space. And that's part of the psychology of suggestion. It's part of the magic of Erickson's work. And it's something that I'll weave into many of the therapy or coaching sessions that I do nowadays. So I'll tell some stories, yet I won't finish them, and then maybe I'll finish some later in the session. Some others maybe I won't finish. Maybe I'll leave them open so the mind continues searching. And it can become quite magical. But before we go into that, and we're just going to touch briefly on it, but I think it's something that you'd find valuable in terms of structuring your own interventions. And we're going to be getting into a space here pretty soon, especially tomorrow morning, because today we're going to be learning how to do a detailed personal history. And we're actually going to be doing a detailed personal history, and we're going to be doing interventions with each other. We're doing the detailed personal history portion, and tomorrow we'll do our interventions with one another. So knowing that, you may want to know something about multiply embedded metaphors, because you may choose to make that part of your intervention.